Sean, what we are going to do, we have a new video, and I wanted to show that to you because I think there's no better way to explain camp than for you to see it. I know many of you have seen it firsthand, but for those of you who haven't, I wanted you to see this video, and you'll recognize people in it as well. And so we're thrilled to be here. We'll take a few minutes to watch that video.
Tired of the ordinary?
Experience the extraordinary.
If you're looking for a unique Christian camp, well, you can enjoy a family atmosphere, fun activities, and focus on God's Word, then welcome to the Anchorage. Decidedly Christian, delightfully different.
I think the thing that I appreciate most about the Anchorage...
Probably water skiing.
I like tubing and carpet ball.
Since it's so small, you can know everyone.
The food, definitely the food.
And the food.
The food is great, and the sweet food is amazing.
Tubing and skiing is one of my favorites in the water.
And of course the tubing and anything on the lake.
You can be yourself. You get to know the camp was really good.
It's a small community, and there's new people who come in every year. So there's not so many people that you can't meet. You can't meet a bunch of new people, but here there's always someone new. There's always a new experience.
You get your focus on God and away from the media and the world, and it's a really, really great thing, and it helps you, you know, really get focused on God so you can make and make spiritual steps you need to make.
I love just being in an atmosphere where you are constantly reminded to be in God's Word, and then just having that backed up by the staff members.
Nestled along the north shore of beautiful Lake Waccamaw, the Anchorage provides a relaxed setting where you can build relationships.
I think the thing that I appreciate most about the Anchorage is the opportunity to meet people. People impact your lives. You're different because of the people that you meet. And you can meet people here sometimes year after year, and you're building relationships with them that become lifelong. And therefore, you're able to encourage them, they're able to encourage you, and you can get to know these folks, whether you see them at camp or other places. I think that's one of the things that's impacted my life the most, whether I was here as a camper or working on operational staff, or now even as the director. I'm impacted by the relationships that I'm making here at camp.
The fact that we're under one roof and we're so close allows us the flexibility, and so that you don't have to be as rigid in your schedule. So it's far more relaxed, far more laid back than many camps can afford to do. And that's certainly one of the strengths of our program.
Well, we started coming with the teens when we first came to the church, and really become real good friends with the staff. And it was small enough camp. At the time, that it was we felt real personal, felt we could build, we actually were building relationships with the staff and with got to know the counselors. Our kids got to know the counselors.
The counselors are the strength of the summer camp because of the quality of the young men and women that they're pulling in is incredible. And so much so for us, we host the counselors for a weekend at our church. So we want our parents to see the quality of these counselors so they have a greater confidence in sending their kids to summer camps. And our relationship with Anchorage has gotten stronger through that.
They help you carry your bags in and ask you like where you're from, get to know you right off the bat instead of, you know, just ignoring you and just being, and they're more than a counselor, they're a friend.
Opportunities to minister to the campers spiritually are plentiful. I mean, you get to talk to them about So you see them at the snack shop counter, and you can just sit down with them and talk to them about what's going on in their lives, what they're learning during the week. When they're riding the boat, you can talk to them about what they're learning and how they're interacting with their counselors and, you know, who their friends are, what kind of friends they've made, what they're learning through the services and God and I time. During the games, you get to talk to them and build relationships with them in that way when they're having fun.
I've had a lot of opportunities to talk to many girls that are from Christian homes and are from churches who already have a profession of faith, but they just have a lot of room to grow, as any Christian does. And they've made lots of decisions to get rid of things in their life, things that are hindering them from serving God completely, or even just doubts about their salvation.
Yeah, Anchorage becomes a place of a reference, a benchmark for them, and they go back to turning points in their life of decisions that were made at Anchorage on a regular basis. You'll hear testimonies of that kind of stuff.
They come down here and they're able to skate and swim and do a lot of activities, but they get the Word of God, and they hear the Word of God in the morning, they hear it in the evening. Brother David promotes God night time, and we see a lot of decisions when they come down. Even in the junior age, we see a lot of decisions from our campers.
There's a need to reach young people and adults with the gospel and to address spiritual needs as they arise in a way that can really best be accomplished in a spot away where there's less distractions and more concentration of scripture. The Holy Spirit has used situations like ours for a number of years now and in people's lives. And so that's why we're here.
Available year-round. The Anchorage is a great place to enjoy retreats and conferences. We're here all the time. We're here year-round, and we have opportunities certainly in the summer. We have summer camps, but we do fall camps, school camps, sports tournaments, couples retreats, men's retreats, ladies retreats. So it's become very busy here at the Anchorage almost the whole year-round.
I think they take a very balanced approach to the way they approach their music, the way they approach scripture, way they approach their games, every activity, everything, down to their meals, is just well thought out, well planned.
Why do I cook? Because of these kids. And food is such an important part of the program.
The food at the Anchorage is probably a major reason why we came back after our first men's retreat. The food was incredible.
They don't fly by the seat of their pants. Yet, camp is very laid back, and that's one of the things we really enjoy about it. The kids enjoy that. They're not scheduled to death, but everything is well thought out, everything is well planned, and it's done with a purpose in mind.
There's a saying here in Lake Waccamaw that goes like this: we're on lake time. And I think that that's one thing that we do here at camp. We're on camp time. And it gives us an opportunity to be flexible with our schedule. It gives us an opportunity for us to spend time with one another. It even gives time for people from these churches that come, youth pastor with their camper, youth pastor with their young person, to be able to spend time in a new place, in a new setting, after a service, after devotion time, where they can be applying the scriptures and they can be learning these lessons together. The schedule is different here than it is other places. We have the flexibility to change. The size is right. We can get out in the water a little longer if we need to. But there's an opportunity here that you wouldn't find other places.
It becomes very, very close, almost like a family, in a very short amount of time.
The Anchorage is a place where you can build relationships. Join us for an exciting yet relaxing adventure at the Anchorage, where you can make new friends and grow in your relationship with God. Experience the extraordinary.
I appreciate you taking the time to watch that video with us. I got to tell you, I'm so geeked up about preaching that I just want to skip all this other stuff, but I'm going to just breathe. I'm not nervous. I'm just excited. I'm excited to be here with you folks because, as you can see even in this video, we're all a part of that ministry together. That's how we feel. And when you have the summer staff there, it's exciting because they have connected with you all as they come each summer. And, of course, we've had Pastor Sean come down last summer. He's coming down again. I don't know if you knew that. But this summer to help train the staff and work through the gospel with them. And we're just thrilled at the way that we're able to work together. We appreciate everything that you do. And it's exciting that we can partner together. So I want to get to preaching. You can ask me any question you'd like to ask me later. But thank you so much for your generosity. We've been looking forward to coming. We're excited about it. We've been overwhelmed. And your generosity is not unnoticed, and it goes out from this place. I'll tell you, we got a packet when we got here, and we were given a gift card for the cafe. And it was a generous amount, okay? And that's what generosity is, right? You do more than would be expected, because if you'd only do what we would expect, then you just did it out of duty. You didn't do it because you were being generous. And so we got a card, and Whitney told me what it was, how much it was for, and I said, really? That's a sign, right, that you were being generous, okay? And it wasn't just, you know, oh. So I went to the boys, and I said, boys, we got a card for the cafe. And I said, guess how much it was for? Now, I knew they weren't going to get it right. And they both immediately said the same amount, and they were right. I said to Zach, the 10-year-old, I said, how did you know what that was? He said, I'm going to paraphrase a little bit because I'm not going to tell you how much it was. He said, Dad, this is Berean. These are Berean people. Berean people aren't cheapskates. So your testimony of generosity goes out before you. Take your Bibles, please, and turn back to Acts chapter 10. And when you get there, if you'll stand, please, we'll read from the Word of God, as is our custom. Acts chapter 10 and verse 44. Acts chapter 10 and verse 44. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it is made plain and clear to us. We thank you for your Son and that you have given him to us. We thank you for the salvation that we have in him. Lord, we thank you for living and dying for us, and Father, that you raised him from the dead. We pray now, Father, that we would be witnesses of you, that we would magnify you, and that we would make much of you. Show us how we can be used of you, we pray. Glorify yourself now in this hour, and may your name go out from this place, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I'm going to go ahead and tell you, just because I feel like I need to confess this, that I think you realize by now that we've each been assigned, the five of us have been assigned a passage here from this chapter. Now, I don't remember when exactly we were introduced to this chapter as being the chapter we were going to unpack during this conference, but it's been months. And what happened was Pastor Bill sent out an email to the four of us who were speaking, and he said, okay, and he had it divided out for us by passage. He even had the title there for us. And he said, okay, guys, I want you to choose the passage that you want. Well, you know, You start looking. The first thing I did was I looked down the list, and I get down to the end of this list, and I see that this last section is called the God of Missions, who approves with the Spirit who is sent from Him. I'm just going to tell you right now that right away I knew which passage I didn't want. And there are a couple reasons why. Number one, it's the shortest passage. So if I'm looking for things I'm going to say that are meaningful, I have fewer places to look. Number two, as you just saw, it talks about the Holy Spirit in this passage. It talks about tongues in this passage. Okay? Now I'm getting a bit scared. And then finally, when you read that passage, everybody understood that passage. No one had to go to grad school to figure out any of the words that were used in that passage. Everything is simple. It's easy. And so I knew right away, I don't want that passage. But I'm a spiritual guy. And so I didn't want to look selfish and just choose one right off the bat. I haven't thought of these other guys about it. But I said, you know, I made a determination. I said, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to wait until he asks again. That way, some people will ask, and then I can choose one, but I'm going to make sure I don't choose this passage. Well, what do you know? A week later, it happened. Pastor Bill sends us another email, and he says, okay, we've only got, I don't know if I have all the details right, and maybe I'll try to keep it maybe not exactly right to protect the innocent. But I said, okay, well, there were maybe two passages chosen, and I said, now's the time. We're almost halfway there, and of course, this passage was still available. And so I said, well, I've got it. I'll go ahead and choose another passage. And so I did. And then the other guys got filled in and everything was good. Then somewhere along the way, something happened. I'm not going to name names. I'm not going to blame anybody. But somebody's schedule didn't work here or there or whatever. And we had to be reassigned. And guess what I got? Having said that, I can, and I'm excited, I'm thrilled because I'm here with you folks, all right? And because I have a bit of an advantage because we know each other. And everywhere I go, someone smiles big and says, hey, Aaron, how are you? All right, so I'm excited for that reason. But having said all that about the passage, now that I've studied and the Holy Spirit has worked, I cannot remember the last time I was so excited to look at a passage. So let's do it, okay? Let's do that. Acts chapter 10. Now, I think we understand the context now, okay? That is that we see Cornelius here. And the reason why this passage is chosen for a missions conference passage is because here now, the gospel is given to the Gentiles. And the Holy Spirit is given and it's opened up so that for most of us sitting here, we should be rejoicing at the victory won here in this chapter. It marks a milestone for all of us. And now we should be going out and delivering the gospel. Let's go back then to chapter 1 of this book. Acts in chapter 1, verse 3, speaking of the apostles, it says this, to whom also he, that is Jesus Christ, showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Now, remember, one of those things that he had spoken to them pertaining to the kingdom of God, as he sat around the table, as is recorded for us in Mark 16:15, and he said this, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. So these are the things that he's talking to them about. Verse 4, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Drop down to verse 8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. And so Jesus Christ had come to these disciples and he had said, I want you to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And now he comes to them and says, I want you to stay here. Don't go anywhere. I want you to wait. He's got them all ready to go and now he's holding them back. The boys play different sports and we'll talk about that a little bit later. But when Zach was 4, he played on a soccer team. And I got to coach that team. And there was a boy on that team. And I asked Zach, neither one of us can remember, it was 6 years ago. And so we're going to call him Jake. There was a boy on that team. He was super fast. And he had no idea about playing soccer. Other than this little ball goes into that net. And if you let him go, he would just run around the field. But if you channeled him a little bit, he'd go get that ball and he'd get it in that net. And so this is what I would do. That we'd kick the ball off and this is, coaches were on the field at this point. And so I'd get behind Jake or whatever his name was, and I would literally grab his jersey, wad it up in my fist and hold him like this. And they'd be bringing the ball up, they'd be bringing the ball up, they'd be bringing the ball up, and he's pulling, all right? He's pulling on that, and I'm, no, hang on. And then I would say, go. He'd take off, get the ball, and more often than not, he, the ball, and maybe someone else would go in the goal. And so then we'd kick it off again, and I'd hold him, and he'd pull, and he'd pull, and he'd pull. I'd say, whoa, wait. And I'd let him go. In a sense, that's what Jesus is doing here. He says, I'm getting ready to go. You're all ready. You have everything you need. But I need you to wait. I need you to wait. And he says, why am I waiting? He says, you need to wait for the promise of the Father. And he tells us what that is. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. And once they were baptized with the Holy Ghost, then he says in verse 8, and ye shall be witnesses of me. As you study that phrase and you see it here, it's not making a suggestion. He's not saying, you know, once this happens, you ought to go out and witness for me. He's saying, you will be witnesses of mine. You have seen me and you will show others and tell others and others will know about you because of me. And he says there in that verse that it's going to happen not too many days hence. And so we all know what happens in chapter 2. Not that many days later, what happens? The days of Pentecost were fully come and then the Holy Spirit is released and given to the Jews. And the response is great. And they're speaking in tongues. And people are amazed and astonished. And then we know that 3,000 people were saved. And then following after that, people were added to the church daily. But right here in chapter 1, the message that Christ has is, wait. Wait, and then witness. Okay? Wait now. You're going to be witnesses of mine, but right now, I need you to wait, and I need you to wait for the Holy Spirit. And so that happens. And the Jews get the Holy Spirit, and the Jews witness. Now let's go to chapter 10. And so just so again we know where we are in this context, in this passage, Peter has been sent for. He's come now to see. He, Yes, I got that right. Good. I don't know why I was saying. All of a sudden, I thought maybe he didn't go, but of course he went because the angels couldn't do it, right? So he comes out to see Cornelius, and he's there, and now he preaches. Okay, and now he preaches. And then we find this. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. Remember that? They had words they needed to hear. Okay? They had words they needed to hear. And now the Holy Ghost falls on these people. These people were the Gentiles, those that had come with Cornelius. Okay? And he says then, they of the circumcision, that's just another word for the Jews. The Jews, which believed, they were astonished. As many as came with Peter, all of those that were with Peter, they were shocked. Because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. That word astonished there, that's not, son, you cleaned your room? I'm shocked. Right? That's not the same as when my wife grabs the styrofoam cup from McDonald's and expects her unsweet tea, and yet she gets my Coke. You ever done that? That's a shocker. That's not what we're talking. This is the kind of, I was at a funeral and someone got out of the casket and walked out kind of shocked. All right? They were worked up. All right, look over, if you look just over in chapter 11, verse 2, and when Peter was come to Jerusalem, they that were of the circumcision, same group, the Jews, they contended with him. In chapter 15 and verse 2, we reference chapter 15, the day of this council at Jerusalem. When therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation with them. These people were worked up. All right, this was a... And listen, it's because they thought they knew how this was going to go. They thought they understood that we're the ones that get the Holy Spirit. We're the ones that are witnesses of Him. And they were ready to go. They were ready to be witnesses and go. And now all of a sudden, something different is happening. And so, they were shocked. What's so neat about this passage is that we have built in for us, in the Word of God, our own commentary. All right? Brother Dave, there are people sitting in classrooms who get all excited about this, about what we're ready to see. Because we find in the Word of God something about this passage and we learn some neat stuff. So hours and hours and hours are spent on what we're about to talk about, and we can connect on that, I suppose, but we can all join in. All right, here's what happens. Look at chapter 11. We read at the beginning where Peter says, these people were worked up, and now Peter has to defend himself. And so he says in verse 15, he's telling them now what was going on over here in verse 44 of chapter 10. And he says this, as I began to speak, the Holy Ghost fell on them as on us at the beginning. So here's Peter, and he's telling these Jews now, he says, listen, I was there. I was speaking. The Holy Spirit comes down, and I had seen that somewhere before. He's talking about, of course, Pentecost. Notice the next verse. Then remembered I the word of the Lord. How that he said, John indeed baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. We just read that right in chapter 1 and verse 5. So now Peter is thinking, hold on. When Christ was talking back in Acts 1, when he was talking to those disciples before he ascended, they thought he was just talking to the Jews. He was talking to Jews and Gentiles. How do we know that? Because the Bible says so. And Peter is standing there preaching and he figures out, this looks the same. And now I remember what he said. What he said was he was going to pour out the Holy Ghost upon us. Why were they waiting for the Holy Ghost? Do we remember? Acts 1:8, they were waiting for the Holy Ghost. Why? So they could witness. They were waiting to witness. And now Peter sees this and he says, hang on. Look at the next verse, verse 17. For as much then as God gave them the like gift as he did to us. There you go. Same thing. He realizes now that what was going on back in chapter 1 before Christ, he was talking to everybody. He was talking to Jews and Gentiles. And I realize now, so you understand this now. You had two groups of people. Back here, he says, wait and then witness. And then in a few days, you had Jews and you had Gentiles. We're using our hands. Jews and then Gentiles. And then, was this Jews? The Jews get to Pentecost and they receive the Holy Ghost. The Gentiles, they just have to wait a little longer. And then they receive the Holy Ghost. Now, what should they both do next? They should both witness. They should both witness. What did they do? Well, go back to chapter 10. Verse 45, they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, and as many came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. Same thing that happened at Pentecost. And now what do they do? Verse 46, for they heard them speak with tongues. That's what happened at Pentecost, right? They spoke with... That is the method which God chose to show His mighty acts. He chose to use this so that it was obvious that He was doing it. Remember back in chapter 2, those men, they came from all over the world and they're looking around and they're going, how is it that they're talking and I understand what they're saying, but this guy over here who speaks a different language understands it too? It has to be God. They spoke in tongues. What's the next thing that they did? They magnified God. They magnified God. What does that mean? It means they witnessed. And Peter says, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized? How appropriate that we had a baptismal tonight. What were they doing? They were being a witness. They were identifying with Christ. And he says, Christ says, you confess me before men and I'll confess you before the Father. He goes on to continue to say that we, what was the promise made? The promise was, you shall be witnesses of me. They magnified God. They, if I can say it this way, they made much of God. I have right here, I carry this around all the time. Pastor Sean came, I don't know what we call this, the four pillars, the four columns, the four squares. If I hold this up, can you see it from there? Have you seen this before? I have Pastor Sean come down and go over this with our staff, and we've gone through it in our own church. But we have here, the gospel talks about, first of all, the God of the Bible. And then, secondly, man's sin. And then third, certainly Christ's work. And then man's response. So where does the witness start? It starts by magnifying God. And so these people, these Gentiles who received the Holy Spirit, went right to work. Acts 1:8. They went right to work, magnifying God, making much of Him. They were doing exactly what God had planned from the beginning. What does that mean for us? It means that we must witness and that we must wait on the Holy Spirit. I'm going to meddle a little bit here, okay? I'm going to meddle a little bit. Here we go. All right, so when we don't wait on the Holy Spirit, what do we end up doing with the gospel? We really just end up selling it, don't we? Right? I mean, Brother Bill, you don't want to go to hell, do you? No? But isn't that, there's not much difference in asking that question than saying, you don't want to go to a bank that charges you for checks, do you, when you could have free checking somewhere else? Why buy a cell phone plan that charges you for texting when you can go over there and get unlimited texts? Why buy a car that you know is going to break down? Well, duh, I don't want to do that. And we end up just selling the gospel because no one wants to die and go to hell. And we theorize and we work and we think that effort means something and we run ahead of the Holy Spirit and we don't wait. And we don't use Him. And we get nowhere. We only train the next generation to do the very same thing, to run ahead and not to wait. But it's very clear, he says here, wait on the Holy Spirit to do the work. We're not just here to try to sell the gospel. The Holy Spirit does the work of accomplishing the gospel in our hearts. But it's hard. And what we've done is this. We've gotten to the point when we know we ought to do it. But we've gotten to the point, I don't know if we're here, but I know we are this way where I live and our little county down there. This is what we think. We think that delivering the gospel to people is only done to people that I've never known on their doorstep or in a weird place where I randomly run into people and I just don't like to talk to people. And so what I do is eventually I just give in and I say that giving the gospel is for preachers. I mean, they're supposed to be bold. They're supposed to be able to give the gospel. And so we do stuff like this. Pastor Sean mentioned today. We say, Pastor, my son wants to be saved. Will you talk to him? We do this. We say, will you please pray? I know this guy at work that needs the gospel and I'm hoping he comes to church. We missed a step. We missed it. We don't have evangelistic meetings just so that you going on in your everyday world can look around all of a sudden and go, oh, hey, you're unsaved. Why don't you come to church and someone will tell you, give you the gospel. Right. Whose responsibility is it to witness? Everyone who has the Holy Spirit. And how do you do that? You make much of God. Listen, I'm not good at that. I'm just not. But notice what happens when you follow the Holy Spirit. Let's just look at a couple of things, if you will. Turn back then to Acts chapter 2. When we depend on the Holy Spirit, the first thing that we see is we see His mighty acts. And this is not an exhaustive list. There's a lot of things the Holy Spirit does. I just want to touch on three. One is we see His mighty acts. Chapter 2, verse 41. Then they that gladly received His word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear, that is an awe or an amazement, came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. God does mighty acts. Let me tell you what, I'm not even going to try to fill in the blank. Will you just come Tuesday? Is that when you speak? All right. Will you just come Tuesday and listen to this, the mighty acts that the Holy Spirit did in the life of our brother and sister here? Will you just, God does mighty acts when we wait on the Holy Spirit. Look at chapter 4. Chapter 4. Verse 29. Chapter 4, verse 29. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness... Excuse me, let me read this a little bit better. Grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thy hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. It's the boldness of the Holy Spirit. You say, well, I'm not very bold. You don't have to be. You just have to wait and witness. The boldness comes from Him. Yeah, well, so I get it, right? When you get the impression that I just have to go out and find people I don't know and try to get them to be saved in 5 minutes or less, who wants to do that? But I don't know how it's going to work out. You know, I ref soccer. And I ref soccer. My association is in this town, right? So I'm probably talking about some people maybe that you work with. And when I first started, you know, I'd show up at the field and I wouldn't know the other referees. And I wasn't, you know, I was a rookie. And so I didn't know how I was going to be treated. And so they would, so you ask a couple of questions, you know, what do you do? And so when they would ask me the question, I would always think, I'm just going to be honest with you, okay? I would think to myself, if I say I work full time at a Christian youth camp, how is that going to reflect? Because, you know, most of these guys, a lot of these guys, before we ever got to where do you work, when they were talking, I figured out from the foul language that we probably weren't in the same boat. Jesse McBride works for us, and he started reffing, and he reffed his first game on Thursday night. I walked away and he was with the other referee. We were reffing together, actually, Jesse and I and this other guy. And after the game, he said to me, you know, at halftime when you were gone for 5 minutes, I heard more cursing than I've ever heard in my entire life. But you know what? The Lord gave me the grace to continue to say, and now I say it with joy. I cannot wait till they ask me. I say, I work in a Christian youth camp. Now, that wasn't always easy for me to do. I thought about it. Maybe I should... Maybe it'll be better for me if I don't mention that. We don't always know how it's going to work out. Let's think about the most spiritual people we've ever heard of. Okay, I mean, like, so way up the list. I'm talking about, okay, James, John, Peter, Paul. Okay, let's just go with those four. Oh, how about that? We've talked about Peter in this passage. Did he understand everything when the Holy Spirit said in Acts 1:8, or when Christ said in Acts 1:8, I want you to wait? Did he? And you're going to get the Holy Spirit? He was thinking it was just for the Jews. He didn't have it exactly right. He didn't know how the Holy Spirit was going to work. And then in chapter 10, he's up on the roof and they come in. I don't know how long it took him to get from the roof to the gates. But on the way, God said, all right, these guys down here, I can see him walking down the steps, right? He's walking down and he's hearing, oh, these guys down here, they're great guys. Don't worry about it. Just do what they tell you to do. Okay, here we go. If Peter doesn't always know how it's going to work out, if Peter has to depend on the Holy Spirit, why would we think for a second that we wouldn't have to? But if we do, we see mighty acts. When we do, we can be bold. Let's leave Acts for just a moment and go to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. I appreciate the extra time. It looks like I might even make it. You know, I know why that clock's back there, right? It's not so you guys know what time it is. All right, I understand why it's there, okay? What did I say? 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Let's begin reading in verse 1. Do we begin again to commend ourselves, or need we, as some others, epistles of commendation to you or letters of commendation from you? You are our epistle written in our heart, known and read of all men. For as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ ministered by us, written not with ink, get this, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart. And such trust we have through Christ to Godward, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God, who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament. You know who should be ministering the gospel from this church? Not just those men that were standing up here this morning at the end of the service, but everyone who has the Holy Spirit. And how do you do that? Where do you go? Well, Pastor Sean, when he got to this point, I nudged Whitney. I said, he's into my message now. We build relationships. We build relationships. Our boys play baseball. Now, they play other sports, but they play baseball. And there's more than one reason why we play, but one of the big reasons why we play is because we don't work with unsaved people. Now, let me explain that. It would be odd, right, if I worked at the Anchorage and I worked with unsaved people. It would be strange. So my boys play baseball so that we can get out in the community and my wife and I can rub shoulders with fathers and mothers that don't know the Lord. And so that my boys can rub shoulders with other boys that don't know the Lord. You know, we're praying right now for a boy. It's crazy, the politics in baseball. But we're praying that this boy would be released from one team and could play on our team. Now, he's a good player. But he played already with us in the fall. And we've learned a little bit about his home situation. And it just seems like this kid needs to hear the gospel. And maybe we can encourage this kid through the gospel. And so our family, we sat down and we prayed that this kid would get to play with us. Now, when he comes and he pitches or he fields the ball or he hits a double, are we going to be happy? Of course. But we want to start thinking this way. How can I witness to these people around us? And so we do things on purpose. We get out and we get involved. We have a morning basketball league at camp. Starts early January. It just finished yesterday. And we do that in the community. And we give the gospel. And we have kids learning verses. And we do it for that reason. I got a little girl, 7th grade on my team. When she learned this verse, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, she asked me, what is scripture? We have skating on Saturday night. Why? So that all these people from the community can come again and we can rub shoulders. Now, listen, because they're coming to camp for basketball, they're coming to camp at Saturday night for skating. I know almost all those people. But you know why I know them? I know them really because we played baseball. I know them really because we got out in the community. 3 days ago, we celebrated our 11th year at the Anchorage. It hasn't been but the last 2 or 3 years till I felt like, hey, I know these people. We had a missions conference at our church last week. And I was talking to the missionaries and I was talking to the Maries. I was talking to them about this very same thing. About the point that they have to go now to the field and they have to learn to establish relationships. They have to, not learn to, but they have to establish relationships and it's going to take time. I talked to a guy last week that's on his way to Australia. He says, we're going to go there for the rest of our lives. And we realize that we've got to be there for the rest of our lives to do these things. We had another missionary that came and they're going to Utah. They're going to Salt Lake City and they're thrilled to go and they're partnering. There are three different pastors that are going together. They've left their ministries and they're going together, and family members and friends and young couples are all going out there to Salt Lake City. And it's an incredible, exciting work. And as he's presenting it to me and he's telling me about it, and he says, listen, we're going to go out there and we're all going to get jobs and we're going to work with people and we're going to get to know people in the community and we're going to put our kids in the schools and we're going to learn and get to know these people. And this is the work of a missionary. I thought to myself, that's cool, but what about all of us? What about all of us? It took me, I said, 7 years to feel like I was... people knew me. People trusted me. People were going to listen to what I said. Okay, now I'm going to ask you a couple of questions. I'm going to ask you to do some things that maybe you haven't done. But I'm going to tell you this. I'm not going to ask you to make any commitment. I'm not asking you to leave your seat anywhere. This is not an invitation. All right? Just trust me for a minute. Okay? I want you to think about this. I want you to think about where you are in your own community. I want you to think about your job, whatever that is. You've probably been in that job for a while. You guys that are in the military, right? You've been there and you have, you know, I mean, that's a whole different culture, right? You have this whole language that you use, okay? And I'm trying to keep up. I've picked up some of it. Tracking, that's one thing that I know, okay? And I say that, right? Some of you can talk to you on the phone. We finished the phone conversation and I hear, out here, okay, bye. I mean, I'm not sure what to say there. Okay, but you're in that, you're in there in that community and you know one another, right? You already have made inroads there. So these missionaries are going to Salt Lake City and they're going to buy a house and they're going to get a job and they're going to send kids to school. And then they're hoping that 4, 5, 6, 7 years down the road, as they're building relationships with people and giving them the gospel, that church is going to grow. Now, let me ask you a question. How many of you have been in the military for 7 years? Will you raise your hand? Okay, you can put your hands down. So now, all of you that just raised your hand, you've been in that place. Now, you haven't always lived in the same place, I understand, but you've been part of that community and people trust you. How many of you are not in the military, but you've worked the same job for 7 years? Will you raise your hand? Okay, so there again, you've been at this same job. There are people there that know you. There are people there that you know. They don't know the gospel. All that they need for you to do is look at them one day and start making much of God. It's amazing what happens when you just wait on the Holy Spirit. I was on a mission trip one time in New York City. I was sitting in a park. I was doing absolutely nothing that looked like I was on a mission trip. I mean, I wasn't doing anything bad. I was just sitting on the bench. No one knew who I was. This lady, a school teacher, walks up to me and says exactly this. I have a friend. On one thigh he has tattooed King of Kings. On the other thigh he has tattooed Lord of Lords. Do you think he's Jesus Christ or is he a false prophet? Okay, well, this won't be hard. I climbed on a plane just a few weeks ago. The guy, I wasn't really excited. It was just two seats there, and the guy there was pretty big. 5 minutes into the conversation, he tells me, you know, my wife has left me. I've worked all my life, and I just have finally figured out there's got to be more to life than this. That's not hard. Okay, so where were we? Military. How many of you, maybe you didn't fit into the first two categories, but you, maybe you've changed jobs or you were in the military, then you got out. How many of you have lived in Fayetteville for 7 years? Will you raise your hand? Now, if you have raised your hand for one of these questions, this is where you're going to have to trust me. Will you stand up? Just stand up. All right, I just want to talk to you that are standing up for a second. Those of you that are sitting down, I'm not ignoring you. Those people that are going to Salt Lake City, they're good friends of mine, okay? I'm not talking badly about them, you understand? Do you understand that you're way ahead of them as missionaries? Look around this. Look how many missionaries we have right here in this room. You already have relationships. You've got neighbors. You got people that you do your job next to every day that need the gospel. You don't have to go raise any support to go there. You don't have to you're there. The Marie's, the Benbrooks, they're going, man, these people are already so far ahead of us. They're patient. They're going to wait. They know the Lord is using them. But you are all so far ahead. The relationships are there. Ready for you now to make much of God. Will you all stand? Just if you will all stand. We may never know. It's fair to say we often will not know what the Holy Spirit will do in our hearts when we wait on Him. But will we wait for the Holy Spirit and witness? Will we make much of Him? Lord, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You for the Holy Spirit. We pray that You would help each of us to recognize the mission field, truly, that You have given us. The opportunity for witness that You have given to us. Lord, may we no longer be filled with worry and fear that perhaps we would say the wrong thing or that this job is for someone else. Lord, may we trust You. And we pray that You would do mighty acts. We pray that You would give us boldness and enable us, Lord, to be ministers of the New Testament, we ask in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen.